You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
On this Thursday, November 9th, we're talking Phillies baseball today with our Phillies MLB.com reporter, Todd Zalecki. Todd, we thank you for the time, and to say the very least, it has been an incredibly sad, tragic, difficult week for the Phillies organization, not to mention the Toronto Blue Jays, and of course, you know, all of baseball, with the tragic passing of Roy Halladay at the age of 40 just days ago. And, you know, Todd, the other reporters that I've talked to that had really no affiliation with Halladay, it's not as if he played for their teams, but they still, they had stories and interactions with Halladay as if he had played for their teams because he was, you know, he was that personable, that respected, and that well-liked. And if he had that sort of an impact, you know, on the teams he didn't play for, I can only imagine, you know, just how devastated the Phillies organization is, you know, over the death of a guy that's, even though he was there for a relatively brief time, such an impact and so respected and such a legacy. And, you know, again, when you hear this news, it just hits you like a ton of bricks.
Yeah, it really does. The news really hit Philadelphia hard. You know, I think he had like a 16-year career. He spent like the first 12 with the Blue Jays. But a lot of people, yeah, obviously in Philadelphia think of him as a Philly, but a lot of people outside of Philadelphia kind of think of him as a Philly because he had some of his greatest pitching moments ever in a Phillies uniform. But, you know, those that knew him were just, really hit them hard because he really was a good guy. He was a great family man and you know, certainly a tremendous, tremendous pitcher, a guy that really set the standard with the Phillies, really set a tremendous example, and a guy that really wanted to help younger pitchers kind of get where he was, even if they didn't necessarily have the physical talent. He wanted to help them with the mental side of the game, which kind of saved his career. And so I really think, you know, you're going to hear stories down the road of former teammates of Roy Halladay's, you know, Phillies minor league prospects currently in the system that worked with him. You know, years down the road, these guys are going to be saying, you know, I still remember what Roy Halladay told me, or I remember this when I played with Roy and I told my son how to do this and now he's pitching the big leagues. I really believe that you're going to be hearing Roy Halladay anecdotes, you know, 10, 20 years from now of people that are kind of passing down some of Roy Halladay's methods, teachings, beliefs, philosophies. And that's that really says a lot about him as who he was as a pitcher and as a person.
Yeah, I mean, no question. I mean, there are some guys that, you know, maybe they uncover a secret to success and they're not willing to share it, you know, with even teammates because they, you know, they want to reap all the benefits for themselves and for their contracts and for their well-being and what have you. But this guy was so giving, and he just wanted to help out, you know, anybody, even if it was an opponent. You know, he saw, you know, baseball as maybe not as 30 individual competing teams, but as a brotherhood, as a fraternity, and he wanted to be the one to dispense that advice and to help the younger guys come along because he sunk to such depths as a youngster. His second full year in the big leagues, his ERA was over 10. To get sent all the way down to single A and then to ascend to the heights he ascended to, I mean, you know, if you saw a movie like that, so you'd say, come on, that would never happen. That's unrealistic. I can't, you know, invest myself on this. But it did happen. It happened in real life. It happened to a real person. And Roy Halladay just stood for so much of what was good, you know, not just in baseball, but in terms of being a human being, period. You know, Todd, share some of your personal memories and interactions, whether it was, you know, just watching him turn in a virtuoso performance, you know, while interviewing him, or just some encounter you had. What really stands out to you in the time that you got to cover Roy Halladay?
Well, I think one thing that really stands out is he had a tremendous presence about him. And I've shared the story this past week to a few people that have asked me about it. And, you know, I started covering the Phillies in 2003, so I kind of came up with, you know, Jimmy Rounds, Chase Utley, Ryan Howard, Cole Hamels, all those guys. You know, so I didn't really look at them as kind of like larger than life. But when the Phillies got Roy Halladay and I saw him in the Phillies clubhouse for the first time in Clearwater, Florida in spring training of 2010, I was kind of like, wow, the Phillies have Roy Halladay on the roster. And you know, he was 6'6". He's a big dude. He was super serious. He had a tremendous track record. I mean, he had such a great reputation. I just remember seeing him in the clubhouse, and I never really looked at another player that way before. Like, you know, wow, this guy's the real deal. This guy's a kind of a walking legend, a living legend. I remember the no hitter in game one of the 2010 NLDS and just being amazed at the fact that he was able to accomplish that. And then conversely, you know, on the flip side of that, I remember game one of the 2011 or game five of the 2011 NLDS when he allowed one run in the first inning to the Cardinals and lost to Chris Carpenter. And I remember him sitting at his locker in full uniform for about 25, 30 minutes after the final out of the game. And he just could not bring himself to take his uniform off. He couldn't believe that he had lost, and he couldn't believe that the season was over. The Phillies had won 102 games last year. I mean, he really cared that much about, you know, just getting to the World Series and winning. And another thing I remember is one of those years he was in spring training, the Phillies had a kind of like an early pre-workout camp with some of the young Phillies pitchers, and Roy, living nearby, stopped by and talked to a lot of these young pitching prospects, and he bought everybody a copy of Harvey Dorfman's The Mental ABCs of Pitching. And he, because that book, his relationship with Harvey Dorfman, he thinks really, really saved his career and allowed him to pitch with success in the big leagues and dominate in the big leagues. And if he could kind of spread the wealth a little bit, he wanted to do that. So he talked to all these guys. He bought every single pitcher a copy and said, "Hey, I really recommend you guys go through this. It really helped me, and I think it could help you." And he was, he was at the Phillies complex on Monday. You know, he was kind of in an unofficial role of a mental skills guru, and he was trying to help future Phillies prospects, currently, and he planned to continue that role in the future in a more permanent basis.
Yeah, and I was going to ask, did he ever discuss with you or with anybody any aspirations, maybe years down the road, of becoming a pitching coach or even a manager? Was that on his agenda, you know, after a couple of years away from the game as a player?
You know, he definitely talked about getting involved in the game again. And tragically, you know, what was kind of holding him back now is he said, "Listen, you know, I spent so much of my life with baseball. I want to kind of be a full-time dad and really spend time with my sons." And he was coaching his sons' baseball teams. And he really – so this little kind of unofficial part-time role with the Phillies, I mean, he had an office at the Phillies Carpenter Complex, and that was – but it wasn't a full-time job because, again, he wanted to have that flexibility to, you know, be a dad and be a husband and be a family man. But he did say, you know, we talked to him, I think it was in late February, early March this spring. He said, you know, "Hey, afterwards, yeah, I would definitely like to become more involved." I don't know if that meant pitching coach. I do know that he had a real, real huge passion for sports psychology, mental skills. He was going back to school to get his certification. I think he kind of wanted to be the next Harvey Dorfman and save, you know, other pitchers' careers, you know, like Harvey saved his. And, I remember him after Harvey Dorfman died a few years ago, several years ago in spring training, Roy said that he had saved every single one of his emails that he ever exchanged with Harvey Dorfman. And he said, you know, he hoped he would go back and reference those throughout the rest of his career. And, you know, I have no doubt that he would I'm sure he's looked over those emails over the past couple of years in terms of how can I help other pitchers in the future, you know, kind of. So, I mean, that was, I really believe that he had a lot more that he planned to offer baseball, over the next, 10, 20, 30, 40 years. Unfortunately, it won't happen.
Yeah. I mean, that seems pretty, pretty obvious from his intentions and how much he was into the mental side of the game. And let's face it, there was no more mental sport than baseball. And to have been around him, in the future when he could have been dispensing that advice and talking to young players about the depths that he once sunk to and the heights that he would then reach. I mean, he would have had a captive audience. It just, like you said, he'll never have that opportunity. We'll never have that opportunity to see what he could have brought to the sport. And that's what makes this, even all the more tragic. Todd, of the countless tributes that have come in via social media from, former teammates and even opponents and maybe executives around the game, and there have been many of them, which ones have stood out to you and why?
I think two of them really immediately popped in my head from former teammates. Chase Utley shared a story on his Instagram account, and if you know Chase Utley, you know that he does not participate much in social media. But he really loved Roy, and Roy really loved him. Roy often called Chase Utley the Derek Jeter of the National League, which is a pretty high compliment. But Chase said he remembered his first spring training with Roy. Chase got to the ballpark at Spectrum Field around, I don't know, 7 a.m. or something like that. And Roy was sitting down, eating breakfast at a table. Just his workout outfit was just absolutely drenched. And Chase walked in and said, "Hey, man, how you doing? Was it raining outside when you got here?" And he's like, "No, I just finished my workout." I mean, Roy would get there at 5:30 a.m. Spring training morning to get his workout. I mean, the guy was an absolute animal. And then Michael Young, who only played with Roy for one season, 2013, which is really one of his, the last year of his career. Roy was pitching at Wrigley Field, and he was really struggling. And he couldn't locate anything. He just wasn't himself anymore. Michael Young went to the mound to talk to him, and Roy just turned to him and said, "Everything hurts." But being the competitor that he is, he just did not want. He was not going to ask out of the game. And I remember a couple times, Roy basically apologized for being hurt and not producing. I mean, he really was bothered by the fact that, the last 2 years of his Phillies career, he was injured and wasn't the kind of guy that everybody expected him to be. And I think those two things really said a lot. That guy busted his butt. It isn't just kind of like hyperbole, people kind of like, exaggerating the stories. I mean, this guy really did outwork everybody. I saw it firsthand, and he really did care a lot, and it really bothered him when he didn't perform well.
Yeah, I mean, he was as fierce a competitor as he was compassionate as a human being and as a father mm-hmm. and as a husband. I mean, he checked every box, and that's only been validated through the stories that we hear from not only yourself, but from former, teammates and opponents. And, I mean, we could spend the next 2 hours, going over stories like this because he had that kind of an impact on the game and on the people around him. Todd, to wrap up this discussion about the late Roy Halladay, I'll ask you quite simply, is he a Hall of Famer?
Yes, I think he is. And I say that because, in my mind, he was one of the greatest pitchers of his era, if not the greatest pitcher of his era. He had a 10-12-year run there where he flat-out dominated Major League Baseball. Not only Major League Baseball, but he pitched in the American League East against those Yankees, Red Sox, Rays teams that were always going to the World Series, it seemed, or getting very close to the World Series. And, I hope that the voters, when it comes time to vote for Roy, don't look so much at the old school stat of, well, he's only got 207 career wins. The game has changed quite a bit over the years. But look at the fact that, Roy Halladay, when you look at his career, he has like 67 complete games in his career. I think I saw somebody write the other day that there are major league teams, like four or five major league teams, that if you added all their pitchers as complete games this decade, it wouldn't even match up to 67. So, it kind of tells you that this guy was an animal. He was a workhorse. I have a tremendous amount of respect for pitchers that actually can go 7, 8, 9 innings on the regular. And, it's one thing to give up, one earned run, two earned runs in 5 or 6 innings, which a lot of pitchers do nowadays, and they have a pretty sweet ERA as a result. But it's another thing to give up 1 or 2 runs over 7, 8, 9 innings on a regular basis. And that's what Roy Halladay did. And I think that fact that he was able to go out there and pitch all those innings for all those years, strike out a ton of batters, not walk a ton of batters, and pitch with a tremendous amount of success, I think he's absolutely a Hall of Famer. if you can, certainly if you compare him to, you know, pitchers of his generation, you know, and current pitchers and even pitchers that preceded him the previous decade or so.
Yeah, and I don't think you're going to get a lot of arguments on that point for sure. He was one of a kind, and he was taken from us way too soon. Todd Zielecki, can't thank you enough for sharing your thoughts and your memories and your insights on the late, great Roy Halladay, and that'll put a bow tie on this one for the discussion this week again. Thank you so much for all the contributions. Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, Philadelphia Phillies.